And welcome to another NR7. Hopefully, I'll get some sort of schedule soon if the moons align and I feel like it. I don't know.
So, you know, when pigs fly.
You mean they aren't flying already?
You just need a
Not yet.
catapult.
Then what's flying outside my house? Crap. I'll get the shotgun, be right back. Air bacon.
Better than a shotgun.
Think Nike's copyrighted that term.
Okay, if I could. Anyway. So, as you can tell, there's suave, analog, and tack here today. Well, have a couple things planned to review. Mass Effect 3. Suave, you had Vessel you wanted to review?
Yeah, as well as towns.
Why don't we do that first and I'll hold Mass Effect off till the end, if that works for you?
Yeah, that works fine.
Yeah, start with the indie love.
Yeah, absolutely.
I gotta love the indie.
I personally, I've kind of gotten sick of mainstream games. Like, okay, this is totally gonna make me sound like this gaming hipster or something like that, but like, I've been playing these mainstream games like since day one, and they're awesome, but they all feel so samey. There's never anything really groundbreaking that you're getting out of it. It's first person shooter is a first person shooter, blah blah blah. So, it's nice to kind of get into some of these independent games because they're the ones who actually are able to take risks because they don't have multiple millions of dollars riding on it. And you get some really interesting games because of it. And the first one here I'm going to talk about is Towns that I've been playing a bit. It's still in the early alpha stages, so it's definitely still in development. But it's essentially Haven and Hearth meets Dwarf Fortress, meets like maybe Dungeon Keeper or something like that. The premise of the game is very similar to Dwarf Fortress when you start out. Like you start out, you've got this group of civilians, and you don't have individual control over them. You can just basically put tasks down, like, okay, build a house here, mine these materials, gather these materials, set up this storage area, and your townspeople will go and do these things for you. And of course, you can like set them as soldiers and other sort of stuff. The world they're in, it's not unlimited like Dwarf Fortress. It's not procedurally generated, so you don't have that epic history or anything like that. It's actually a relatively small world that they're working on. I'm guessing that's probably going to get expanded as when the game comes out later, but as of right
Yeah,
now,
it's a projected feature.
it is somewhat limited in regards to space, but the game itself is basically, I think it's what, 20 or 30 levels deep, below the ground, and each level, the further you go down, start running into caves and dungeons and stuff like that, and that's where the game really starts to take off. Because the whole idea is to get this village, get them to get all the resources, mine minerals, build armor, equip your townsfolk with weapons and stuff, and then you send them down into these dungeons, and they go and fight these hordes of, undead and spiders and whatever else you can find, and get better gear, and upgrade it more, and then go deeper and so on and so forth. So it's kind of like this, yeah, like I said, Dwarf Fortress, but it's got a very heavy, like, dungeon delving aspect to it. And it's the one thing that's really held me back from Dwarf Fortress, I love the concept of the game. It's just such an awesome idea, but I just could never get past the graphics and the user interface. And
Yeah,
this one I've got
it needs one.
it's so bad. But this one here, they've kind of sacrificed a lot of the depth, like the massive amount of computation that's actually required to run Dwarf Fortress. So they've sacrificed that for graphics and a user interface. And I've got to say, the user interface is quite slick. It's easy to pick up and easy to figure out. You don't have to go take like, a month's worth of classes to learn how to play.
You don't need a college education to play the game.
Yeah, pretty much. And
Yeah, it actually has a tutorial, thankfully.
yeah. And I went through like the first two steps in the tutorial, And I said, screw it, and just went into the game and figured everything out as I went. You know, there's actually a wiki out there already, and the wiki is much better than going through the tutorial. But
they normally are.
Yeah. It's, but I got to say, I'm really liking it. It's got a ton of potential, and even though it's like still like, what is it, the alpha 0.42, I think, at this point.
Yeah, it's early alpha.
Yeah, it's still very playable. And I'm really excited to see all the new features that they're going to be adding on to it, because I think it's going to add a lot more depth to the game.
But the next big feature, because the current gameplay isn't actually the gameplay they're aiming for, where you send your villagers down into the dungeons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that the villagers build the village, and then you have the guards to protect the village, and then you have heroes move in, who then go down and kill the monsters.
Awesome. I like that idea. And I'm guessing, like, you'll still have the ability to send your villagers in.
Yeah, you still control the village.
Yeah.
You can always send people to their death.
So it sounds like you're playing the village in Diablo.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. It's been described that way before.
Yeah.
Is this a multiplayer game?
No, not single player.
My knowledge, no.
Ah. Yeah. It'd be awesome to know if there's multiplayer.
I don't really see how you can get it to work in multiplayer, just, unless you can
Be like any other RTS.
Yeah, the only real feature that would work is being able to pause.
Yeah.
Right.
In its current form, you'd really have to like massively expand the area, as well as, and then like just have multiple villages, I guess. But in its current state, I don't think it would work very well.
But again, you said it's early alpha.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's also updating very fast, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good promise. Yeah.
That's one of the things that kind of kept Minecraft going so much, was just the almost weekly updates that they were coming out with that were keeping people interested. And that's definitely happening here. I see that there's not as big of a community around this, obviously it's so early, but I'd like to see this game get a lot more exposure, because I really think that this game could really benefit from having a passionate community.
Yeah, the saving grace is that while the community is small, it's very active.
It is, absolutely. And currently they're kind of doing the same thing that Minecraft did. Like, if you want early access to the game, you can pre-order now and you get access to the alpha. And then, when the full game comes out, you get that as well.
Yeah, it's a decent working model. It means it funds them through development as well.
Yeah, exactly. And currently, I believe it's about $13, $13 to $14 to buy the game. I definitely think it's worth it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I stuck a good few days in playing that when I first got it.
Yeah.
Definitely sounds interesting. So,
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all I had to say about that one. I can hop on to Vessel here if you want. I played that one as well, hey?
Yeah, I've played that all the way through.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
You guys playing more games than me.
One sitting, yeah. You know, I was trying to, but people kept interrupting me. So. But that is an excellent, excellent platformer. I generally don't like platform games because they stress me out, because you're always doing these jumping puzzles and you got to have these flat, fast reflexes and everything like that. I like a game where I can just like kind of sit back and just go through at my own pace. And this one definitely allows that.
But the distinction is it's a puzzle platformer, not a straight platformer.
That's exactly it. And the whole premise of the game is liquids and animated liquids. And you basically have these different types of liquids available to you, and you can basically turn them into these creatures that are made out of these liquids. And each creature made out of each liquid is going to have different behaviors. And you use these creatures and the different liquids to solve puzzles. For example, like one thing you might have to do is just fill a container with water, easy enough. Or another one, like combine water and lava to make steam, and the steam will run a steam engine that'll open a door. And, it gets a lot more complex. There's a lot more different liquids and stuff like that that you're going to be able to use for this. But that's kind of basic ones. And it's got a great graphics. It's very, it's a side scroller, but it's like 3D models. in it, so it's very crisp, I guess would be the right term.
It has a lot of character as well.
Yeah, it's kind of got a like steampunk Victorian era type look and feel to it, which I really like. And it's very like pulled off very well. Seems very polished in the graphical department.
Yeah, lots of big gears and pipes everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So that's very excellent. You know, there's a couple of minor gripes. Like, for example, when your character switches direction, he just like mirrors over. Like, there's no transition animation or anything like that. So some of the animations are a little bit jerky and stuff when he's moving around. You know, some platforms that are being held up, they're like, they kind of bug out and you like fall off sometimes, you know, weird things like that. So, you know, it's not totally perfect, but these are very, very minor complaints. Just for an independent game, I think they just had a couple of people working on it.
Yeah.
It's really well done, and it's well worth the money. I think that's also $15 to pick up.
I think an interesting thing worth mentioning as well is because you get your water cannon in it, mm-hmm. for controlling waters yourself.
Yeah.
And you collect ectoplasm as you go through and play. It's hidden around levels, so you can upgrade your cannon, get different nozzles and stuff.
Yeah.
I did a bit of digging around on that. You actually don't have to upgrade anything to finish the game.
Right.
That is just sort of a bit of fun on the side that you can have.
Actually, when I was playing through, the game must have bugged out, because like you actually have this big contraption that you use for upgrading your gear. So you go to this one hopper, fill it up with this protoplasm, you know, push this button, crank this wheel, select your thing, and it'll make it for you. And you have to do this for each one. And it bugged out for me, because when I put the protoplasm in, it spit the protoplasm back out, but it also counted as taking in the protoplasm. So I was essentially able to upgrade all of my stuff for free the first time I went in. So
it's a small bug.
Yeah, a little bit game breaking. I was even able to use it to replicate the protoplasm. So I ended up getting everything the first time I ended up upgrading. But that doesn't really take away from the game.
It doesn't unbalance it.
No, it doesn't. Mm. You know, it's just little fun things. So instead of shooting like a straight stream of water, you'll spray it out like a spray bottle. You know, it spreads out the water, or you know, so like it might make it more convenient for certain applications, but it doesn't really change the game all that much.
Yeah, playing the game still involves solving the puzzle.
So yeah, it doesn't turn into I win because I upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't suddenly have the best gun.
And I find that. You know, like the whole game, like you've got this backpack that you collect these liquids in, and you have a limited supply. So, and you use this to make these creatures and everything like that. So they could have done it where like they punish you if you like are wasteful with it, and like it totally screws you over because you've used up all of your liquid. I find that they're very forgiving in that respect. Like they're not trying to punish you. They definitely make it easy enough to like find your liquid sources and stuff like that. So it's pretty non-stressful for a puzzle game.
Yeah, they're sort of very open for you to screw around and experiment.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it makes it easy, because a lot of the puzzles are very difficult to figure out. And
just wait till you get to the last puzzle. You don't even realize it's a puzzle.
yeah, it's difficult, but it's very good. And I highly recommend it. It's probably one of the better puzzle games that I've played, aside from Portal, I guess.
Also, before we finish this, didn't you say something about buying it from the site?
Yeah, so the developers of Vessel, they've gone through a pretty unique way of selling their game. Like, yeah, you can go on Steam, and I think Disturb, possibly, I'm not sure, and buy the game on there, and it's $15. Or you can go to the developer site and buy it directly from them, and they'll give you a DRM free copy of the game that you can, you know, copy and put it wherever you want. And they also give you a Steam key. So even if you end up losing the DRM copy or DRM free copy, you still actually have access to the Steam version. So if you are going to buy it, I definitely recommend getting it from the developers. Also they'll probably be getting more money out of the transaction that way anyways.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, as a side note as well, because $15 is, I don't know, it's not a lot of money, but it might be too high for some people with an indie game. Mm. And I'm fairly sure it's going to end up on a bundle at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
It's the right kind of game, the right kind of developer.
for the amount of time that you get out of it, it's and the enjoyment you get out of it, it's definitely worth the $15, in my opinion.
Yeah. May have to look into that myself, because was looking at that, but just never really knew that enough about it to pick it up or not.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it so much that I got it to have a look at it and have a play around, see what it was. I ended up sitting down and playing the whole thing all the way through from start to finish.
That's normally a good sign of a game.
Yeah.
My brain hurt a bit at the end.
Oh, it's so excellent.
I have to check that out.
So I'm guessing nobody else has anything then? Or?
Nothing springs to mind.
All right. So then I guess we'll move on to Mass Effect 3. I'll try to keep the first part of this review spoiler-free for those who are interested in playing it, if they haven't played it already.
Yeah, trying to avoid storyline, I suppose. Yeah.
So, but I do warn you now, I will give you a pause on that, but the last part of the show will have spoilers in it, mainly because there is some stuff I want to talk about. But I'll give you a good warning, and at that point, just turn the show off, since from there on it will be spoilers, and I don't think we'll go into anything else after that.
Yeah, then we'll just be giving out free CD keys and stuff. Nothing I want to hear.
You aren't supposed to say that yet. All right.
No.
So, I picked up Mass Effect 3 since played through the first two already, and yeah, does keep the bringing the story along of keeping the changes throughout the world. And pretty much in this one, it's the Reapers are here, and pretty much the whole galaxy is in panic mode as giant death machines start killing everything and invading Earth and other worlds.
Yeah, the beginning is quite dramatic for this one.
Yeah, for one, there are a lot of amazing cutscenes and emotional stuff in this. So, different things go happen, and dang it, I'm trying not to say spoilers right now.
But avoiding mentioning any specifics, I did find when I had a look at it, the writing is better than I expected. A few bits are quite ham-fisted and forced, but there's a lot of background conversations that you can listen in on that actually they have some bearing on the story.
Yeah. That's also one thing. Well, before in the earlier ones, in the Normandy and all your crew members are normally stuck to a specific spot in the ship. On this one, when you go to the Citadel, they'll actually wander the... Well, be it random things in the Citadel. Occasionally,
you can bump into people doing stuff.
And occasionally, just going to the ship, two of your crew members may actually just... At one part, two of them were just sitting in the lounge chatting to each other about old times. So they definitely brought the characters more to life in the third one.
Yeah, it's a lot more immersive. The characters have some character to them.
Which is nice, and also makes it hard at some of the scenes. But again, I'll try to hold off on that. So, if you have played the other games, definitely think you should pick it up. Although if you have played the other ones and liked them, you probably already would have picked it up by now, since it has been a little while. But yeah, again, for new people like sci-fi story in depth type games, I definitely would recommend the series, except for No, like, should probably go over the first one. The is good with the story, but does have a lot of problems. And weren't you saying, Tack, it doesn't run too well now?
Yeah, it doesn't like modern hardware. I mean, I played it before on my old system, and it ran perfectly. So I sort of laughed thinking about just turning everything up and see how great it looks on new hardware, and it just chugged along. Like, I would have, I don't know, a good 5 minutes of it running absolutely perfectly, everything was great, and then I'd go down to like 2 or 3 FPS. It just spiked
all over the place. Were you running it in compatibility mode, though?
Oh, I tried everything. I couldn't find anything to fix it. The issue is that it spikes. And it really hammers your CPU. Like, the whole time, it will run your CPU at 100%.
Ouch.
It's madness. Second one runs fine.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah,
it got a bit warm in here when I was playing that.
But again, if you're going to be playing the series, you definitely, though, still need to start with the first one, I would think. At least if you want the full...
You know, I hear that the second one is better than the first one. And
I prefer the second one.
Yeah.
You know, I almost wonder if you should just read a synopsis of the storyline on the first one and go right to the second one. I tried...
No. On the Cerberus network system for the second one, which is their add-on DLC stuff, there's actually a... Oh, God, I think it's like a comic thing that you can download for it, and it plays through, and you make the choices for the first game.
Awesome.
And then it generates a save file with those choices for the second one.
Yeah. So, you know, there's options up there. The reason why I say this is I picked them both up on a Steam sale for real cheap because everybody was ranting and raving about these games, and I really wanted to check them out. And, I got into the first one, and, you know, I did the first couple of missions, and I made it to, like, the first big space station or habitat or whatever the heck it is. And I found myself running around, you know, talk to this person and go pick up this quest, talk to this person, go pick up this quest, read, like, so much dialogue. And, you know, like, there's just so much information, it felt like I really had to be running around with the notepad. And, you know, I got to the point where I didn't even know what the main quest was because I'd picked up so much stuff. And, you know, I just felt lost and, like, it felt like work figuring all this stuff out at this point. I wasn't really enjoying the game.
The problem because I've actually just finished playing through the first one again.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that all of the side quests you can pick up all at once.
Yeah.
And those are all of the side quests for the game. It's very, very good at feeling massive, but really isn't.
The side quests are still split up somewhat because I think after each main mission, it does unlock a few more.
Yeah, there's a few that splinter off from the main story, but for the most part, like, the vast majority of the side quests will be picked up as soon as you get there.
Fair enough.
So I can see Suave running around, you know, in the game, writing everything down frantically. Then, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, a marriage. I can see Suave running around when he's married, trying to write down everything frantically, still completely lost the whole time.
I will not argue this.
But
you know, it's probably great, but it's just because I had a negative experience right at the beginning there.
Yeah.
I kind of lost interest and just haven't felt the need to go back to it. So I'm missing out on the Mass Effect magicness.
Oh, yeah. When I first played through that first time in the Citadel, normally
this place is massive. I'm
going to
get lost.
Mm. And yeah, it took me a while to pick it up after that, but yeah.
Bizarrely, because I played the first and the second one before, but I played them both separately, like starting fresh each time. And I've only really, really realized, because I've just started playing the second one again with a save from the first, that actually some of the side quests, the choices carry over.
Yeah.
Like, there's just really minor stuff that you do that someone will mention.
Yeah. Well, I believe, I don't know between the second and the third one, but between the first and second one, it's like 200 plus choices or things are taken over from the first one. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I haven't found out about the third one yet.
Yeah.
So the programmers must have been really just, you know, batshit insane, right?
Must have been. But batshit insane people make great stuff, I find out.
Mad monkeys.
It's strange, though, because when you import the save to the second one from the first one, obviously, it gives you the key choices that you made, like the really important stuff that you did in the first game, but it never mentions any of the little stuff.
Yeah. Well, you find that out through going through the place, because I believe if you make a new character, can't you make the base choices?
The basic choices you can make, but the little stuff is all just gone.
Yeah, which that's the main reason I kind of like the whole starting from the first one, because it's the little things you just stumble across that I find the interesting part in the later games.
Yeah, and of course you've got no options for like the romancing side quests, which is disappointing because that means it's harder to bang the blue alien.
So wait, the blue alien. So you can't bang him at all, or?
Oh, you can. It's just more work.
Oh, just more work. Okay, so you just takes you longer to get it up, and you know.
As long as you get to bang the blue alien, that's the important part.
Okay. So, anybody else want to go over anything in the series before we move on to spoiler town?
That's all I can think of.
I can't think of anything else. Although I remember I was really a bizarre conversation between two people who were arguing about Mass Effect, because one person was arguing that it's just like Star Trek. And the other was arguing that it's just like Star Wars.
It's in space. That's about the same.
I just think it's great you had Star Wars versus Star Trek with the same video game.
It's War Track. All right. So I fully recommend playing the whole series for those, but from this moment on to the end, I will be saying plot points and stuff that will completely spoil the third one. If you at all are interested in playing, shut off the recording and walk away now, and you'll be safe. Else, I can't.
Captain, we have a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, I say.
And there's analog with the sound.
Board away from analog.
I can't reach
it. It's so much fun.
Somebody get me a several hundred mile long stick so I can poke him from here.
Awesome.
Well, moving on. So, yeah. Well, some of the basic stuff. On the third one, brain's not working right now. But yeah, I really like the story. Well, pretty much 99% of the game. Good. They are literally, you will lose several people in this one, and you can't really do anything about it.
But yeah, it was very, it's very good with being morally ambiguous.
Yeah.
There's no clear good choice and bad choice half the time.
Yeah. That's it. And also, oh, the whole thing with the people feeling a lot more real in this one does make some of those losses affect you a lot more. Like Murden, if he survives in the first or in the second one, he will pop up, well, he will be a scientist trying to cure the genophage in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're doing that, in order to, what is it, since the way they're dispersing it was sabotaged back in the day when they first released the genophage upon the Krogans,
mm-hmm.
he has to go up to the top and fix it. As the entire tower is crumbling, so there's at the end of that mission, he's going up in an elevator in a tower breaking down, pretty much Can't remember exactly what he was saying, but yeah.
But the way they played the character, especially Morden, was actually a really interesting character because he originally made, well, he was part of the team that made the Genophage.
Yeah.
So he was spending his life trying to fix that mistake. And he wouldn't let anyone else do it because they might make a mistake doing it.
Yeah, they may do it wrong. But yeah, and also, well, you pick a, well, meet a female Krogan and conversations between those two are quite interesting. And hearing Morden sing is neat too.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, that I think that's the only female Krogan you ever see.
Yeah. Well, actually, most female aliens you don't see. Like,
A lot of the alien races are monogendered.
Yeah. I thought only one was.
I know the Asari definitely are.
Yeah.
Which is interesting how they handled that one.
So, like, the Turian and Salarian are that. Well, the Salarian you see, but they don't look too different, but don't think they've shown a female Turian.
No, I don't think you come across one.
Yeah.
I don't know, you might do. They might just not have told you.
Yeah. But yeah. Although, with another topic in the... Like, some of the decisions you made affect the third one, but one thing I kind of found odd was... Well, in the first one I originally saved, well, released the Rachni Queen. And, right, pretty much, you can also kill her and pretty much wipe out the race from the galaxy again, since they were pretty much were wiped out in a massive war. Thousands of years before.
It's a really confusing storyline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Because you had the Rachni, who were like this alien bug race that were sort of attacking colonies and wiping everyone out, which is where they got the Krogan to fight them, and then they used Genophage to control the Krogan population.
Well, the thing was, the Solarian uprose the Krogans to fight for them, and it worked. They won the war, but after a while, the Krogan turned and turned against them, and that's when they made the Genophage to stop that.
Yeah, because Krogan's very good at one thing, and that tends to be headbutting people.
And also, but on the third one, though, Rachni don't showing up, and at first, I thought it was just because I saved the queen, and there was a mission where you go and find out what's happening and find out the Reaper has captured her and pretty much turning husks out of her children. But after I finished the game, I was just checking some stuff out, and even if you didn't save the Rachni Queen, the Reapers end up somehow making a pretty much replacement thing to the Queen, which doesn't make sense how the... I know
it is kind of disappointing. It does smack of lazy writing. Basically, what they've done is made you make the same choice again.
Well, yeah, it makes the same choice, but even if you killed the Rachni Queen back in the day,
There's a
Reaper Rachni Queen now, which, how would they make the Rachni? It just seems, I think it would be much better if you killed the Rachni Queen back in the day, there's just no Rachni in this third one.
I also think there was some issues with scaling. Basically, like the end of the first one, you kill a Reaper. And then in the third one, one of the mini bosses is a Reaper.
Yeah, but also to take out that mini boss Reaper, you are using a tracking laser to call down an entire armada that's in orbit to bombard it. So
The setup is big. I think the issue is that the gameplay didn't feel that dramatic.
In the third one, I thought a lot of it seemed right. It wasn't.
I thought that part in particular was just a bit easy.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, though, is the entire galaxy is being invaded by thousands of these Reapers, so I'm sure you would have to have taken out a few of them in the gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic how they change it as well, because everything sort of splintered off in the third one.
Yeah.
Although I was a little disappointed that the only major settlement, at least as far as I saw into it, was just the Citadel.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd be able to visit some of the other ones. You find out Omega. I think that was the asteroid colony in the Senka one was taken over early on, but
yeah,
there was still. What is it? What was the Asari planet in the second one? Ilium?
I can't remember.
Something similar to that. Yeah, it would have been nice to have a couple places.
Yeah, even if it's just little camps on some planets. The change of scenery would be nice.
Oh, actually being able to visit the crucible that's being built would be interesting.
Yeah, that would have been good, because you spend the whole game getting resources and people to build it. It would have been nice to be able to actually see it being built.
Versus just a hologram of it.
Yeah, be able to look at pictures.
So, yeah. And also, they did take out the mining aspect from the second one, which a lot of people were grateful for.
Yeah, I'm very glad of that.
Yeah. Oh, the whole thing of having... got some upgrades, but I need to get minerals for them. Let's go rape a few solar systems.
Yeah, I have to just go stare at a planet for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Which, they do have upgrades in this one, but they are a lot nicer.
Yeah, and for the most part, they just cost you money.
Actually, these ones are the ones where you find the information of that and go to the console in Liao's room.
Oh, yeah. No, that's different, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was thinking about the weapon upgrades and the armor upgrades and stuff.
Well, yeah, those two, which I'll go over. And, because that pretty much you find some sort of information that you can research stuff. And you get two options of what to do. Like, the one I remember the most is you find a derelict Reaper destroyer. And you can either research that for better, I think, or faster powers recharge.
Mm-hmm.
It says the other option, which is to get 5% off the Citadel's shops, is the console wants you to take the safe option of just blowing up the remains. So it does have a little bit of fluff for each choice you make.
It is interesting as well, because it means you can spec yourself out more. You can specialize more.
Yeah. And let's see here. Yeah, there's the weapon upgrades, which, yeah, you just pay for the upgrades to upgrade your weapons. And
I like this gun, but I want this gun only better.
Yeah. Which, it's surprisingly cheap for some of the guns, but again, I mainly stuck to SMGs and handguns.
That's the idea, I just play soldier. I want a gun that shoots lots of bullets.
I like the fancy powers. Nothing like turning your enemies into ice cubes, then blowing them up.
That does work.
So, let's see. They kept the armor thing transition from the second one, but you do seem to get a bit more options of...
Yeah, they took the same system and expanded it.
Yeah, which that was...
That worked.
Yeah. That was pretty much the problem in the second one, is Yeah, so it's nice have different boosts depending on what army you had, but they didn't really have that broad of thing. And like I said, I mainly focus on powers and that versus weapons. And that wasn't really one of those in the second one.
One thing that did disappoint me slightly with the equipment system was that some stores sold like armor sets. Like I only really remember it because somewhere was selling the Blood Dragon armor from Dragon Age as a spacesuit.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is they have obviously set bonuses, which are very specific, and you can't mix and match them at all, which made them completely useless.
Yeah, I never bought any of them since that's... You can get the whole set, but...
And the default armor is actually better than most of them.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is you can customize it to however you want. And let's see here. No, I think that's mainly it for this story. Now, the thing I didn't really so much like about the game was the ending, which a lot of people have been complaining about it too, so...
Yeah, I haven't seen it for myself, but I know that there's lots of complaints. There's actually a lot of communities come up complaining about the ending.
Yeah. Well, the entire end mission is extremely well done, I thought. Like, the last part is it's a last-ditch effort, and it's a... If anybody's alive when they reach the beam to get teleported up to the Citadel... Hop in.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. You're on the ship, you've run out of ammo, start firing crew members at them.
Because but the thing at the end choice, you just suddenly get three options of what to do.
And yeah, there's a few games that have done that, and it really annoys me.
Yeah.
Like, I know... Actually, Deus Ex had the same problem.
Yeah. And yeah, it's pretty much... There's a few... If you don't have your... Oh, what is it? Military resources up high enough, you don't have all three of them, but...
Oh, yeah, that pissed me off a whole lot as well. Because the thing with... I think it's the galactic readiness thing. To get to max it out, you have to play multiplayer?
You don't need to.
That you can get the good ending without doing that.
Yeah, you just need to do enough side stuff to build it up. Because I've completely filled the bar without playing the multiplayer yet.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea that the multiplayer affects a single player.
Yeah.
That should be almost a completely separate entity.
Yeah, I didn't really mind it too much since, again, you don't have to do it, but yeah. It is a little bit annoying that it does affect it, but again, it's not that big.
I think they're trying to spread the market they're hitting as well, because it's like when you start up, you can choose how you play.
Yeah.
So you can play it as a role-playing game, as it was intended to be played at, or you can play it as a shooter, or you can play it for just the story.
Yeah, that part I didn't get. Fortunately, when you transfer a character over, it defaults to the normal settings.
Yeah, well, that is the default. It's the role-playing game.
Yeah. Which, I don't really know why you'd play any of the other ones, since that's originally how the game's intended to be.
Yeah, it was designed to be played like this.
But, yeah. So, let's see here. But, yeah, the three endings, though, the endings themselves aren't bad. It's just after the ending, the only difference between them is a few little things, and pretty much whoever is with Joker at the end. Excuse me.
From my understanding, the ultimate outcome of the endings is that, you know, the first option is everyone's fucked. Second option is everyone's fucked. The third option is everyone's fucked.
Yeah, well, the three options are going to, since this is the spoiler thing.
Yeah.
One option is you destroy the you destroy our synthetic, which isn't just Reaper, it's also the Geth, which you can get to be peaceful in this one, and potentially yourself, since you did die in the beginning of the first one and were brought back with technology, so you're not 100% organic at this point.
Yeah, which bizarrely, through the storyline, depending on how you play it, you can be the second character to die in the whole story.
And now, what is it? The next option is to control the Reapers, which is what the elusive man was doing. And when you just before this point, you're talking him out of trying to control it, since they control you most of the time.
Mm.
It's like, why would you choose this option? And then the third option, if you have enough research, or enough resources and all that, is synthesis, which somehow combines organic and synthetic life. So everything's a hybrid now, which seems odd.
Yeah, none of them seem like the right ending.
Well, that, and also, no matter which option you choose, the way the energy being released affects the galaxy is it goes to the mass relays, which blows them all up.
Yeah, which if you've been following the story, that's the only way that any civilization has ever met any other civilization.
Yeah, so if they were continuing... Well, I know this is the last of the Shepherd, or Commander Shepherd's story, but that that sounded like they were planning more games, which blowing up the mass relays really changes.
I think they might be planning on pulling a Star Wars.
But even with the prequel, yes, there's the First Contact Wars and all that, but...
Yeah, you have the First Contact Wars and the Rachni Wars, and I think there was another one, I can't remember.
But again... Most of those choices, you know what outcome happens, so
your choices
won't really affect anything. So it's this type of gameplay just doesn't seem right for a prequel, unless it's completely not related to any of the major events.
It could be. I mean, there's a lot of side story to the Mass Effect series, because there are books and comics and stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
So they could possibly do a spin-off. God knows they've got enough characters.
Yeah. But then also there's the main thing. Those three endings, yeah, were a bit odd, but okay with them, but no matter which three ending you choose, you don't find a... Well, it doesn't show you anything of what happened to the galaxy other than Joker somehow going through the mass relays and crashing on an unknown island with the entire crew, who some of them were supposed to be on the planet with you.
So what you really want is a Fallout ending.
Yeah.
Where it goes through the choices you made and what effect that had.
Yeah, which, with this type of game, that's kind of what most people wanted to see, how their choices affected the galaxy.
Yeah, because the whole point about it is that you make all these choices and they all affect something.
Yeah, when this, it throws all your choices out the window and, oh, here's a pretty ending.
Here's a stock image.
So, yeah.
Which they also got really slated for using stock images.
Yeah, which, well, I know the main one they were slated for, people complained about, was for the Tally.
Yeah, where you see her and she's actually just a person.
Yeah. Well, they did change the picture around or that, but
that, yeah, they photoshopped it a bit.
Yeah. That I don't really care too much about.
Well, it's bizarre because it's a fairly major plot point.
Yeah.
Well, the whole point with the Quarians is you have no idea what they look like.
Yeah. Well, I would have personally preferred them not doing that. But still, if they it was close to what they originally designed, I don't mind them modifying a pre-existing picture versus trying to, well, making one from scratch if it's they can spend the time better at doing something else.
So I think it would have been funny if they pulled a 180 and made it look like a mind flare or something.
A lot of people were hoping for that, but
yeah, that's what I've been sleeping with.
Well, you should have known by now, since you have your character has seen her face, but if you've romanced her, but
yeah, which that's actually quite an interesting mechanic, because that means your character in game knows more than you as the player.
Yeah. So you would have been sure if you she was a hideous monster, you would have had an auto reaction when you first your character first saw her.
I don't know, maybe Shepard's into that.
That could be it too. So also yeah, so that's pretty much my complaint about the end is yeah, it just doesn't connect with any of your choices.
Although, bizarrely, I have a very odd gripe with some of the writing in it. Because it just reminded me talking about the romances. Because this is the first game where there have been openly homosexual characters involved. And I think the problem is that they've actually gone too far the other way. It's too common there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, granted that it's a big deal having that in a game, you know, representation. But they've definitely overdone it.
Yeah. But although I do have to say, did like the, what is it? Who is the supply officer or requisition officer, pilot? Who is the Gaga.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Starts with a C. Why can't I remember names? But his story.
It's something like Chavez or Carlos or something.
Yeah,
I think it might be Carlos.
Yeah, it sounds about right. But yeah, his story, though, I did like finding more about him since. Well, pretty much. Don't really say anything other than. Pretty much when he goes into what or his backstory, just mention, God, or casually mention his husband, and the only thing he has left of his husband is a recorder, voice recording of pretty much right before he died, saying not to keep this.
That was interesting. That was done well, especially the fact that he mentioned it in passing.
Yeah, so yeah, that part I did like, but yeah, the amount of gay or lesbian people did seem a bit odd.
Yeah, it did seem like most of the sort of the conversation that you listen in on, that was sort of the default.
Yeah. So,
which is a shame because otherwise they did that really well.
Yeah,
like the actual characterization of it was fine. It's just it was too prevalent.
Yeah. So, let's see here. But, no, sir. Well, I think that's roughly it for my complaints, but quick question, though, Tech.
Yep.
Have you heard anything about the so-called conspiracy some people have came up with?
The conspiracy? No, I haven't caught anything about that yet.
There's a conspiracy that the whole ending is completely fake of that. And it's pretty much Commander Shepard being indoctrinated.
I can imagine that. I mean, I'm loath to say anything for certain, but I expect BioWare may well make a DLC for a different ending.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much.
And that is one way they could tie it in.
Because, if you search it up on the thing, there's quite a bit of firms and all that go over it, and yes, it seems a bit odd, But there's a lot of stuff some of these people have been putting together.
I think the big thing with anything like that is if it's anything that's too hidden or obscure, that it's normally complete bollocks. It's basically if there is foreshadowing in the story, there's a good chance for it.
Well, they're going over like that little kid that died in the Earth invasion that's been haunting you.
Yeah, with the dreams.
Yeah, they kind of talk about odd things with that and how that kid itself is the harbinger of that, trying to indoctrinate you. Because in the end, the so-called being that gives you the three choices takes the form of that kid.
Yeah, as a construct.
Yeah.
That's an interesting theory.
And yeah, there's a bunch of odd stuff too. So yeah, I just found it quite interesting at how much stuff they put together for it. I wouldn't mind that being an option, but still, I would like a game to have its true ending right off the bat. Yeah,
it's BioWare, so give them a week. I'll have a $30 DLC for it.
Yeah.
That still bugs me, the zero-day DLC.
Yeah, which I didn't pick up since.
Yeah, no, I got it, and it is fairly important, really. It doesn't affect the overall game, but there's lots and lots of information in there that you really could have done with.
Well, isn't... Because, yeah, don't you actually pick up a... what is it? Prothean?
Prothean. Yeah, with a hilarious West African accent.
Didn't hear him speak yet, so I didn't know he had a West African accent.
It's a bit bizarre. I think also it did kind of... It ruined the race somewhat. Because they're not what you thought they were?
Yeah. It's kind of what I heard since.
Which, I mean, if that's what they were aiming for from the beginning, then that's fine. That's just us misinterpreting the stuff they've given us. But I think they may have just switched that around intentionally.
Yeah. But, again, also, this is the first time we actually learned anything truly about them, so...
I'd also like that they did the character that's just a soldier, not a scientist or anything.
Yeah.
So he knows as much about their culture as, you know, a human soldier knows about human culture.
So again, it could also be just the character too versus the entire race. So.
Yeah, this is just some of the stuff he explains about their culture, like their whole societal structure and stuff.
Because wasn't it actually an empire that they put together?
Yeah, they were very imperialist, kind of assholes.
So, yeah.
Which sort of they aren't set up to be through the rest of the games.
Yeah. So, no, I think I'll probably call it there since it's almost an hour, and that spoiler part seemed to have gone on a little bit longer than planned.
But the Mass Effect 3 spoiler show.
Well, the main thing is a lot of the people I know that play games here are actually playing through the series for fun, so I can't really talk to them about it.
Yeah, whereas I'm fine for it because I'm playing through the series for work.
Yeah,
it's great.
So, all right. I don't know when I'll do another show. It happens whenever I feel like it and get enough people to do the show with.
Yeah, next time there's actually any games we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I do plan on sometime when I get enough people to go over Battlefield Bad Company 2 again.
I haven't played that one.
Yeah.
I've been out of the loop there.
Yeah. Well, most of the people in our group, we've come to play quite a bit differently since we first started, and figured it'd be neat to just go over how everybody views it now.
Yeah, look at the different angles.
So, all right, well, whenever I see everybody when I ever do another show on IHN. See ya.